Okay, so we are up to Simen Kuf Pei. Hopefully we'll do Simen Kuf Pei and Simen Kuf Pei Aleph today. Simen Kuf Pei, Sif Beis. If you could open up for a moment. Kol mi she'eno mishayer pas al shulchano, eno roa simen bracha liolam. We saw that even though the Gemara sounds like they would clear the table before benching, but Tosfos and Rishonim say that they would leave something on the table for benching, or at least they would leave the table before the Mevarech. They used to have those little tables for benching. And the reason, the Shulchan Aruch says, is for Simen Bracha. Aval lo yavi pashlema v'itmena al shulchan v'masakein mechzi v'lashem avodas kochavim avid shenamar. So it doesn't mean you bring new bread to the table. Take a look for a moment at Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis. What is the reason why we leave the bread on the table? And even if it's for bracha, it's not just arbitrary, but the Mishnah Berurah explains that Ditzarech L'Shayer Kadeshe Mizuman La'ani Shiavo. Person always has to be ready for an ani, lest he come. It's actually just thinking about this because sometimes when I go to shul in the morning, so I walk to shul, so I don't know, I don't bother taking my wallet always. And so then what happens is sometimes there are aniyim in shul and then I have nothing to give them, right? So, okay, it's true. I can't give them. I don't have any money on me. But maybe this is telling me, so I should go to shul without my wallet. Sarach l'shayer, kadeshi mizum laman. You always have to be ready, leave over something for an ani to come. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, if you take a look at the Shar HaTzion, he says something very interesting, Sif Katan Gimel. That reason is quoted in Rashi, and he writes, l'fizat tov l'chatchila, so if this is the reason that you always want to leave something left over on your bread, on your table, so that you have for the ani, so crumbs aren't good enough. It should be something more substantial, so that you'll give something that's ra'oi for an ani to give. So here the poskim say, and some of these are quoted in Dirshum note 2, that that perhaps was true bismanehem. Why? When there was actually the practical possibility of giving an ani at piece of bread from your table. Nowadays, where when aniyim come to our door, we don't usually, sometimes it's nice to offer them a piece of food, but you're probably not going to give them a piece of bread off your table. So that being the case, so then perhaps this reason isn't as relevant anymore. And almost adirabba, let's say I leave over a piece of bread, so then probably will never get eaten. So maybe fakert. In that case, then you don't have to leave over a whole piece of bread. You'll leave over crumbs, and that's good enough. They quote from Eliashiv, though, the crumb should mamish be nothing, should be psisin sheyesh ba mamashos, mishum sheperurim dakim ma'od, ein lam chashivos shehareihem ke'avak, ve'ein zenach sheshir. So what's the halacha? The halacha is you should leave over a piece, bizman chazal, or bizman where you were lav dafka chazal, bizman when it was practical to give aniyim, should be a piece that's right to give to an ani. Whereas if that's not practical, so then crumbs are enough, but they shouldn't be mamish crumbs that are dust. Okay.
Why do you even need crumbs then? What's the point of the crumbs?
The brachas chal, because you've left something. That's the idea over here. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it as well, Sif Katan Gimel.
I might
comment. In other words, there's the two factors. There's the one is the chelak aniyim, and two is the inyan of bracha. Yes, Moshe.
I just thinking that translating peruim is crumbs is inappropriate here. I think you should say translate as small pieces. Because crumbs in English always means small, you know, very, yeah.
Okay, I hear. Good. So the next issue that comes up here, both in terms of our how to deal with crumbs, and this brings us back to the discussion that we had at the end of the seventh parak about having respect for food and bread specifically. So I want to go back and talk about this, since the poskim talk about this here as well. We saw it earlier in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, but we sort of rushed that topic. So I want to go back and clarify some things. If we look at Siman Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Kodem Shitol Yadav Yichabed Bayis." Before Mayim Achronim, you should sweep. Shelo Yisharu Sham Peruven Vim Asu B'Mayim Shel Netila. So that they don't become disgusting from the Mayim Achronim water. Now, we'll talk about, it's sort of interesting, we'll see in a moment, that's Beishama Zu, but we paskin like Beishama here. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, and we'll see this is Rabbeinu Yonah, that Achshav Anu, Ein Anu Noagim Kach, Nepnei She'ein Anu Mesalkin HaShulchan. We don't, the problem over there was that they would remove their table and then they would wash the Mayim Achronim and it would land on the if you didn't sweep, it would land on the floor and make disgusting the food. But that's not relevant for us because we don't remove our tables. But what we do see from there, from this halacha, as we'll explain in a moment, is that you can't be mafsid ochlin. In other words, even if we're not chayv to sweep before benching, but the fact that the halacha is that where the food might get disgusting if you don't sweep, then you would be obligated. In Sifkat and Dalad, and again, we're going to elaborate on all these halachas, we'll just read the Shulchan Aruch quickly. So there's no iser of ibur ochlin when it comes to pieces smaller than a crumb, but it's still kashal anios. And finally, so let's talk about these halachos. So if you remember, first of all, when we did this sugyav hafzed ochlin, I mentioned that there are some that are makel b'makom hafzed. Perhaps the machzis ha-shekel implies this way, simin kuf ayin aleph sif katan aleph. The question is mechatesi, why would we be makel b'makom hafzed? So I thought, perhaps it's dependent on the two reasons Rashi gives. The Gemara in Tainis quotes, at least according to Rav Huna, I think, as Michael Adam ein machil nosol lebehema. You're not allowed to give animal food, human food, meaning to an animal. Why? Rashi gives two answers. Number one, mishum bizui ochlin. Why? Umechzi kaboyit betova shehishpia kodesh baruch hu ba'olam. If you, Hashem gives you this bracha, food that you could eat, and then instead of eating it yourself, you just give it to your dog. That shows that you are, it's disgraceful. It's disrespectful. Somebody gives you something very nice. Imagine, somebody gives you a present and instead you just, you give it to your dog to eat. It's not very nice. Inami, mishum dechasatar al mamon shel Yisrael. The second reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with mamon shel Yisrael. In other words, Mamon Yisrael, animal food is lower quality, it's cheaper. So you shouldn't give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to be wasteful. So you shouldn't give human food to animal food. Well, perhaps if you think that the Iker is the second reason, or you think at least the second reason is also true, so maybe B'makom Hefzed, where saving the food would be a Hefzed Mamon. The example we gave from Rav Yashiv, which is quoted in the Piskei Tshuvos in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, is where to prevent the food from being thrown out, the good food, but to prevent it would cost a lot more money than even the value of the food. You'd have to hire extra waiters to go around to every table and collect it. So in that case, there's makom lahakel. Why? Because if we think that the reason or one of the reasons of bizui ochlin is because Torah chas on mamon shel Yisrael, well, where it would cost more mamon to save the food than to simply throw everything out, So then maybe there's makom lahakel. Now, it's not pasha to say that, because if you actually look at the story over there with Rav Huna, he used to spend money to do this. The Gemara says over there, Rav Huna, before Shabbos, would go, and after, you know, at the very end, when the shuk was about to close, he would buy out all the food and dump it into the river. Why? Rashi says, the holkin l'makom acher, they would sort of float down the river, motinosam ne'adam, people would find it, like, you know, look at that, nice apple floating down the river, v'ochlimosam, they would eat it. Why? So as to make sure it didn't go, because you can't give it to an animal. So you see, spend money. Okay, it could be that was the midas chasidus. It's also interesting, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in that halacha of in machil and osol behema, and we'll talk about why in a moment. We'll get back to that. Akopanim, as I said, some poskim are make of a makom hafseid. And maybe you could argue, going back to our question, we were talking about clearing your table, you could also be make of a makom hafseid zman. In other words, if it would take me a long time to go ahead and store all this food, and anyway, the food's not going to be eaten, so maybe you could argue a similar type of thing. Though, Lamaisa, going back to the question we raised last time of, again, I have perfectly good food left on my plate, right? Perfectly good. So for me, there's nothing mouse about it. I'm just full already. But I know that it's not going to be eaten anymore. Is it mutter to throw it out? Even though that's ibud biadayim, which is aser. So if it's less than a kezias, the prima gadim is mekel, less than a revius for liquids, less than that. So maybe there's makom to be mekel if it's less than a kezias. That's already going to be peruvim, like our gemara. We have to figure out if it's kashalanias. But why is it motor labe peruvim she'ein ben kezias? So likewise, you could throw your garbage, if you have less than a kezias left on your plate, then it's mutter to throw it out. What if there's more than a kezias and it's nothing wrong with it? So again, you know, we were saying maybe because a hefsid's man, you could do it. I don't know. I saw that many of the poskim say that really in that case, the proper thing to do is not to throw it directly into the garbage, but what you should do is put it into a bag and then you can put the bag into the garbage. That's what's done in Eretz Yisrael for Peir Shvius, for example. That way, by putting it into the, you're not being mafsid to be a diet, right? Because you put it into a bag. When you put the bag into the garbage, it's also not nefsed be a diet. Eventually, I guess, when the garbage take, you know, the garbage truck comes, I don't know, maybe it will be, but that's already mamelai to do that. And that's what many of the poskim say. Yes.
It's very interesting when it comes to wasting food. So Rashi says, Bizoy Ochlin Behefsid. So whenever you have that, you have to figure out like which one is the Iker or you need both. But if you look at the Mishnah Berurah throughout, Mayis and Hefsid, he just assumes Mayis means to waste food. So according to that Mishnah Berurah, it's clear that if you're going to throw out food, I guess not like bread, but if you're going to throw out food, you could, it's already has the status of mayas and you could throw it out in garbage. Meaning my kasha was why are you allowed to throw regular food in the garbage? Because it becomes mayas. And the Gemara has just lahavir kos male, just to have grape juice or even soup is considered mayas. So lechora putting it in the garbage would also make it mayas. So. Yeah.
So I don't agree with the Mishnah Berurah. Well, let's take a step back, and then you could tell me where you're coming from in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm not sure I understood it that way. Well, let me clarify a point that Aaron's bringing up, which is a very important point to clarify, which is one could argue that there are actually two separate inyanim here, each one with its own rules, right? I think that's what Aaron's saying. One is the inyan of Hafsid Eichlin, and you can't be mafsid ochlin, even if you're mafsid it not in a derech bezayo. And with respect to that din of hafsid ochlin, we saw that there are exceptions. So for example, according to the Mishnah Berurah, if it's tzorech adam and derech ha'olam lasos kain, then it is mutter, right? And that's how he explains, for example, the heter to sprinkle the wine on your floor so that the dust doesn't come up. There is no Isser of Hesed Ochlin, even though your mouth said the Ochlin, because it's Tzarech Adam and Derech HaOlam Lasos Kim. So that's one halacha of hefsed ochlin. Right? Hefsed ochlin means to make food which is fit unfit. Then there's a second isser of bizui ochlin. Bizui ochlin is true when you don't respect food, even in a case where you're not ruining it. For example, even if it's mutter to be mafsid ochlin, you're not allowed to do it in a way that's derech bizayon, right? The idea of ein machilin ochel that's roi la'adam lebehema is a din in bizui ochlin. Because it's not hesed ochlin, you're giving it to an animal to eat, but it's bizui ochlin. That's what Rashi says. It's a bizui ochlin. And the reason for the second din of bizui ochlin, the first din of hesed ochlin, maybe that's related to Baal Tashchis. But the second din of bizui ochlin has nothing to do with Baal Tashchis. That's the reason, the way Rashi and the Rambam say, Rashi's first reason and the Rambam's only reason, is because it's kibboet betova sheshpia kadosh baruch hu ba'olam. Right? In other words, it's being ungrateful and unappreciative and disrespectful. So those are the two isurim, right? Isur is hefsed ochlin, is the first. The second is bizui ochlin. When it comes to the second din of bizui ochlin, we saw that we're more machmir by pas. For example, the halacha is you're not allowed to be zarik pas, right? And that's based off of the Gemara that we saw at the end of the seventh parak. The Gemara said, dala dvar nemru bepas. One of them was ein zarik and a sapas. And the way many Rishonim, probably most Rishonim learned, and the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, is that you can't even throw pas when it's not going to get wrecked. That's what makes pas unique. Why were they more machmir by pas? So we saw the Beis Yosef gave a number of answers. There's more of a zilzel by pas. I mean, zrika is more of a zilzel, and we're more machmir by pas. Presumably because if the idea of bizui ochlin is boet betova sheshpia kodesh baruch hu aleinu, well then pas, which is the greatest tova in the sense that that is our primary food, so therefore the kavod we have to have for pas is greater. So again, not everybody agreed to that din, as we saw Rav Haigon quoted by the Rashba. Rashi and Luchara disagreed. They thought that you're allowed to throw pas if it doesn't get ruined. The Isser Srikas HaPas is only when it might get ruined. Doesn't seem like they held there was something special by pas. That was a difficult way to read the Gemara. It's not the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. The Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is even when it's not going to ruin the pas, because of the special appreciation that we have for pas. So even though normally you're allowed to use pas if it doesn't get ruined, right? Osadim called tzarko bepas. But zrika is considered particularly bizyonistic, and therefore it's asr. So, right, and that's what kuf ayin aleph, sif aleph, we say, osadim called tzarko bepas, assuming it's not mimas, but still, ein zarkin es hapas because of bizayon ochlin, right? The second din, bizayon ochlin. And as the Mishnah Berurah points out over there, that even if it's not going to get wrecked. Okay? So Adam pointed out that there are some kihilos that have the minhag to be makel here. I saw that the ksav sofer was noheg to be makel there. Why is that? Is it because there's so many on the Rishonim that say as long as it's not wrecked, it's mutter? I don't know. That seems like a shver approach, because it's against the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch and Adaraba. The Rishonim that are machmir seem to be much more compelling. I don't know. Maybe they hold that if you throw it, you know, and it lands on the table, that's not considered zrika. That type of zrika is
not such a bad read on the Gemara.
What?
It's not such a bad read on the Gemara. It's just Mavirn as a kosmale is only talking about bizayon. So huadin, everything on that list is only if it's
going to... Yeah, but then what's special about pas? It's true for everything else.
No, but I'm saying why in mavirn kosmale...
I understand. I'm saying, what's ptosis? How do you deal with ptosis as rye? Ptosis is assuming a rye that there's a mile of pus. And if you're ruining it, so it's true for everything. So that's why I think it's very hard to read the Gemara that it should be mutter to throw pus if it's not going to get wrecked. So
anyway. Throwing the Torah mitzvah may be different?
There's no mitzvah. Pass it.
I think you're giving it for a mitzvah. You're giving it to my half extra mitzvah.
Okay, could be. I don't know.
This isn't a pun Ashkenazim to be down the kapslis. This is for you, Adam.
Well, I told you, it's not just Ashkenazim. Sav Sofer used to do it. I don't know.
What are you talking?
Easy for you to say. Fine. But the point that I'm bringing out here is that, right, in other words, there seems to be two halachos, Hefsid Ochlin and Beasley Ochlin. So when it comes to Beasley Ochlin, we're a little more machmir by pas than by other things. Now, back to this question. So now, what did you want to say, Aaron? You wanted to be medayik from the Mishnah Brura that it's mut against what the poskim say, that it's mutter to throw perfectly good food into the garbage can if it's not going to be eaten anyway. Show me where you saw that in the Mishnah Brura.
I don't have the Mishnah Brura in front of me, but if I last week when I read it, he constantly just said hefsed very casually.
Isn't that hefsed?
The Gemara kept on saying mice.
This is perfectly good food, and you're now making it mouse. You're making it. You're being mafsid it.
Hefsed is that it's you're not going to be using it.
I don't think so. I think anytime you make it mouse, you're being mafsid it.
Something that's I don't know.
I hear what you're saying.
Things that are in the cafeteria that are about to be thrown out. How could anyone say, Taina, that it's a hefsid to throw it out?
I told you, my example, there's nothing. I have my plate. If I wasn't full already, I would eat this. There's nothing wrong with it, meat CD. And I go ahead and I throw it.
I don't think there's any hechrich either way, meaning they didn't waste.
Why? I don't understand. What's the tzad that it should be mutter? You're being mafsid and be a dayan.
First off, just ha'ara, none of the Rishonim and Nosei Kelim really discussed that case just because no one ever wasted food before America.
That might be true.
But now that the yesod is that it's not being used, that is the yesod of hefsid, that now it was going to be used.
By making it maus, you're being mafsid it. Okay? I don't know.
I
appreciate what you're trying to do. You're trying to be... Again, I think if it's somebody else's plate, then I hear why you could be mako, because that's already mos to me. But if it's my own plate, which isn't mos in any way, so, you know, even you're acknowledging that from the lashon of the Rishonim, it should be, it's going to be asar, because you're making it mos.
No, well, it's
I'm also not sure about the following.
With our case.
I don't know why.
The Rishonim aren't dealing with our case. They
talk about making food mouse.
But they don't have a saga of putting food and putting it in the garbage. So that's why it's not.
Let me ask you a question. Why the Gemara tells you that something that I would think is mutter is usser, right? So I would think it's mutter to, pass the cup over the bread. If it's going to spill, right? Kamash Malon, it's Aser. Why? Because I'm ruining it. So they had a Hasaga, and the Gemara told you it's Aser, right? Right. In other words, I would have done it anyway. The Gemara didn't tell me, the Shulchan Aruch didn't tell me that it's Aser, it's Mutter. The Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Osa Adam called Shachav Bepas, the Hani Mili Delo Mimis Bay. So if it's Mimis, it's Aser. That means I can't even use it functionally if it makes a mouse. kavachomer if I'm just throwing it out. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's asur.
Again,
okay.
I guess my main point is that the discussion is not there.
I just told you the Shulchan Aruch says it's asur. You can't be mamis bread.
You're saying, according to the Shulchan Aruch, who has a very low threshold of being mice, the Beis Yosef even says marak. So in that case, it's still functional. Even so, you can't ruin it. So you're saying that there's just an isser just from the fact of creating some type
of... Shulchan Aruch says you can't do something that's going to make the bread mouse. So when you throw it in the garbage, you're making it mouse.
Yeah, but again, well, that bread is delicious on the table, and now you're making it mice. It's going to be it's a different case. It's on my table. Everyone wants to eat it, and then someone spills grape juice, and everyone's like, ugh. It's not a case where you're not planning to eat the bread.
You're claiming an exception to this din in the Shulchan Aruch, which is unstated but obvious, right? Which is that any time this halacha that says that you're not allowed to do this is only said in the case where you would otherwise eat it.
Where it's fit. It has a certain status.
Well, this is fit. There's nothing wrong with the food I want to throw out in the garbage.
Again,
I don't understand what you're saying. There's nothing at all wrong.
The Gemara is dealing with a case where this bread will be eaten.
There's nothing wrong with this food I'm throwing out. Exactly. Nothing at all wrong with it. I'm just saying
the case in the Gemara is different. The case in the Gemara is we're planning to eat the bread. We're not planning to throw it out.
I understand what you're saying. It's a very big chiddush to me. Now,
there could be a chiluk between pas and regular food, just because pas has that.
Well, I don't know where you're getting that. Regular food. The Mishnah Berurah writes.
He says hefsid every time it says mice.
I understand what you're saying. I think it's a hefsid also. When you're mafsid it, anytime you make
again, Rashi says bizoy ochlin vehefsid, and Mishnah Berurah just latches on to hefsid. So bizoy ochlin and hefsid are two separate things.
I agree with you. That's why I gave that whole akdama. I still think that it's usur to be mafsid it.
Would Rebbe be masking that there's no hechrich either way, just because they're not dealing with our case?
No, I think that unless they say what you're saying, then it's usur, because that's what it says. I think you're making a very big ukimta. So I think
threw out food before America. Your grandparents would never waste anything.
You might be right. I'm not denying it. But the Shulchan Aruch still told, my grandparents also wouldn't have passed a cup of wine over the food. But the Shulchan Aruch says it's usur.
By the way, although maybe a wasting or leaving food over, throwing it away is more prevalent in America, I think rich people in all generations might tend to do this. I mean, in Europe, where many people were poor, they wouldn't dream of wasting it, anything. But when people are rich, I think naturally people.
Sefer Chinuch yells and screams in the Isser of Baal Tashchis about those Rishayim who are wasteful. Anyway, just one other point, and then we could go on, which is that if you look at Aaron said maybe there's a difference between bread and other things. When we look at the Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Ayin Aleph Sifkatan Gimel, he writes, Vafilo Bishar Ochlin Gam Kein Aser. This din is not said dafka about bread. We do find a chumrah by bread, namely with respect to throwing, but with the respect to the isser of being mafsid, there is no difference.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, that it would be by bread, even though there's no problem of mice when you throw it out, however, there's still a din of chashivas. But in terms of the din of mice, there is no difference. What Aaron is trying
to do is be miyashev, the minigun yeshivas. And yeshivas, for some reason, they go ahead and they throw out everything, but they save the bread. They go around collecting the bread. So what's the difference? So, because the Mishnah Berurah says it's also either way. So what you're saying is the following. You're making the following chiddush. You're, which I didn't see anywhere, but might be correct. You're saying,
this is what I've been driving for the last 20 minutes.
I know, but
yeah,
it says chiddush. You're saying that they're assuming that from the halacha that you can't throw bread, we can extrapolate. And that I think is correct, that there's a din of bizui ochlin, shelo b'makom hafseid. And you're saying that anytime you're not going to eat it anyway, it's not hafseid, even though you're being mafsid it be a dayim. Because hafseid means a loss of something that would otherwise be eaten, but still bizui. If you can't throw it, pashut that you can't throw it into the garbage can. And therefore, you have to collect the bread and not throw that out. But you don't have to collect the, you're allowed to throw the food straight into the garbage because that's not hafseid and there's no din of bizui for other Oakland. So there's a couple of chidushin there. I think it's a chidush to say it's not hafseid. I also think it's a chidush to say there's no din of bizui by Shara Oakland, so, because the din of ein machil and oso lebehema is a din of bizui ochlin, not a hafsid ochlin, and that applies to all food. Though, again, you could try to argue it on paskin that way.
Again, Rashi uses the lashon. Was that Rashi?
Yes.
Over there says bizui
he uses
and
the lashon of bizui.
I thought Rashi over there said bizui vehafsid. So
okay, but bizui right, is enough.
So, meaning, but I'm saying the Mishnah Berurah is being launching onto hafsid. That's just my deal.
But Rashi doesn't say anything about hafsid. Rashi says, "Ein machil and
okay, I see. I'm different, Rashi. By the mice, Gemari.
So maybe you'll say we don't paskin like this. There are some Achronim who say that. The Mishnah
Berurah. I mean, none of the Rishonim paskin.
Well, not true. Nobody argues in a Gemara.
Riff, Rambam.
True, but the Gemara, the
like Magen Avraham's like the first one to bring this up.
That's a fair point, but the Mishnah Berurah l'maisa paskins it. According to you, it's a steer on the Mishnah Berurah. So, okay, I hear what you're saying. Aaron is defending what people do. It's a beautiful thing, and maybe you're right, but to me, it's a chiddush. If you look at the contemporary poskim, they don't say it like you, Aaron. At least what I found in the Dirshu book or Vizos HaBracha. Or the Piskei Tshuvos, they all say that at least shelo b'makom hafsid, and at least when it's bigger than a kezias, you shouldn't throw the food into the garbage. If it's good, there's nothing wrong with it. But good. Okay, let's talk quickly about Perurin Shein Bahen Kezias. So, right, we saw that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, on the one hand, Perurin, She'ein Bahen Kezias, there's no Isser Lahafsid. And at the same time, we also, again, this is in Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, Kuf Pei, at the same time, we also paskin that it's Kashel Anius. So, what does that mean? So there's really three Gemaras that we have to know to understand this halacha. The first Gemara on Shabbos, Kofem Gemal Med Aleph, Mavirin Melifnei Ashulchan Perurin, Meseyele Reb Yochanan Da Reb Yochanan Perurin Shein Bahen Kezias, Aser La'abed Biyad. So we take off, Rashi says, that from the fact that we're Mavirin Biyadayin, the Lozar Kloho, says Tosfos, Akasha, he says, I don't understand Akasha and Rashi. Akasha and Rashi is that we say in Brachos that there's only an issue if it's bigger than a Kezias, but if there's less than a Kezias, it's okay. So Tosus disagrees. Doesn't say Aser L'Abed Biad. What does it say? Mutter l'abid biyad. So according to the Girs of Tosos, which is the way we paskin, as we saw, peruin she'en ben kezayis mutter l'abdan biyad. So what does it say in Brachos? That's the proof of Tosfos, as we mentioned before. There's a machlokas. Beis Shammai says that first you sweep and then you wash my machronim, because if you wash my machronim first, you're going to be mafsid the ochlin. And Beis Hillel says it's mutter. And what are they arguing about? So they're arguing about whether you're allowed to use a shamish who's an am ha'aretz and won't know the distinction between pachos mikazayas and yoser mikazayas. So Beis Hillel says that if you have a shamish al chacham, he's going to go ahead and he'll pick up all the peruin that have a kazayas. He'll leave the peruin she'en ben kazayas. So there's nothing to worry about. But we paskin like Beis Shammai, the Gemara says, and therefore halacha l'maisa, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, really you should have to sweep first. However, Rabbeinu Yonah says that you don't have to sweep first before you bench, and the reason is because we don't remove the table, we don't wash my machronim. The way we wash my machronim isn't going to be matzid. The lashon of the Rabbi of Yonah is mashen anu nogin achshav lasos kach omer ri hazaken shezelo haya ela biyameim shein minhagin l'salak z'shulchan dada aval achshav mibnei shein minhagin l'salak z'shulchan v'notel yideim yichutz l'shulchan makum shein sham peruvin lo chashashu l'zeh. Good. Now there's a third sugya. So far, from the first two sugyas, assuming we don't pass them like Rashi, what comes out is there's no problem, no issues at all if you have peruvin that are what? Pachos mikazayas. So where does this, why do we have an issue? The man chulin, kof hei amid beis. Tosas quotes it as well. Abai said, meirei shavi amina hai de kansi nashvra misham minakiyusa, minakirusa, amalimar misham de kashilam yusa. I used to think that the reason why we gather the crumbs, in other words, we sweep, is for the sake of cleanliness. But now I know Rabba taught me it's because it's kashalanias, it's to avoid poverty. And it has a very beautiful story about a certain fellow, and the malach on poverty was always trying to get him, but he's always careful to deal with his crumbs respectfully. And once he was like having a picnic outside, and the malach said, "Ah, finally I'm going to get him." And then he like dug up all the dirt in the area that he ate, and he threw the dirt into the river. So you see, throwing into the river is okay. And now the malach said, "Ah, I'm never going to get this guy." Okay, so that's how the psak of our Shulchan Aruch comes up, as we said, Siv Dalad, that even though it's mutter la'abed, it's aser, it's kashal anias. Another question is, okay, what exactly is kashal anias? Especially because we saw that you could throw it into the river. So the Magen Avraham proves that al karachach de lo kashal anias elak shedoy reis alayhem avla mashlichem lemayim shari. And he quotes this Gemara. So stepping on crumbs is kashal anias, and that's why you need a sweep. If you don't sweep, what happens? You step on the crumbs. But if you throw them in the water, that's okay. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Now, so then I would think that, and Mishnah Berurah also over here, Sif Katan Yud in Simen Pei, Kuf Pei, Apaskins this way. So I would think that according to this, when you sweep and this is a Maisim B'chol Yom, you know, every time you sweep on Shabbos. So there are lots of crumbs, at least my family, lots of crumbs of bread after the meal on Shabbos. So if so, then it should be okay to throw them out, right? As long as we don't step on them, it's okay. The only thing that's usher is to step on them. That's what I thought. Aaron told me that's what he thought as well. But if you look at the Deer Shoe, he quotes that from, this is note 6 from Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg and Reb Fisher, that throwing them into the garbage is not like throwing them into the water, it's like stepping on them. So what should you do? You should put them into a bag. Also Rev Eliashiv says the same thing.
for food, for leftovers, all leftovers, not like Aaron. So so if you follow all these chumras, this is going to be a your garbage can is going to be full of garbage bags. Everybody's leftovers and then all the crumbs. I don't know. But okay, here it's maybe a little less chumor than our previous discussion because it's not usher.
You could have two garbage cans, one with just food and then one with everything else.
So that's not a bad idea. That's actually what they do in Eretz Yisrael, like by Shvius and the like. So if you want to do that, you can. You could even compost it. It's good for the environment. That's the best thing. Oh, this is a raya maybe that you should be good for the environment and compost, and that way you'll also you'll solve all these shilas. Okay, now an interesting shila that comes up also by sweeping is what's the din if taken together there's a kezias, but each crumb is less than a kezias. So some are machmir if they're mitzdarif to a kezias. Take a look at Mishneh Berurah Sifkat and Yud and the Birkei Yosef, who is machmir. Fine. So these are some of the issues. Okay, in terms of the issue of giving to the animals, I wanted to talk about it, but we don't have time. Take a look at the Mishneh Berurah, Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sifkat and Yud Aleph, quoting the Magen Avraham, who's machmir. As Aaron pointed out, it's interesting that the Rishonim don't quote this issue. The question is why. There's a very beautiful tshuva from the Ksav Sofer, Or Chaim, Siman Lamed Gimel, on this topic, trying to figure out why the Poskim don't quote it. Again, the Elia Rabba thinks we don't Poskim that way. But how do you, there's no one that seems to argue with the Isser in the Gemara. So what basically the Ksav Sofer does is he tries to find a Gemara in different places that sounds like we don't Paskin like Rav Huna, though the Rayos he brings are in Sof Pashat. Okay, the last thing that comes up in this Sif is in the Siman of Sif Hey, Noagin Lachaso Sasakin B'Shas Birkas Hamazon, V'Nagu Shalol Lachasoso B'Shabas V'Yantif. So what's the reason for this? So there are two reasons that the Beis Yosef quotes. Number one is Barzel's Makatzer Yimei HaAdam, and your knife is made out of metal, and it's not right that it should be on the shulchan that's domel and mizbeach. And the second reason is because of a story in which someone, when he got up to Bracha Bonei Yerushalayim, remembered the Churban HaBayis, and he stabbed himself. It's very interesting that the Achronim discuss which reasons aren't relevant on Shabbos. Take a look at the Beis Yosef. He says actually the exact opposite of what I would have thought. Ayin Sham, and for more on that topic. Okay, now let's at least briefly do Simen Kuf Pe Aleph, which is Mayim Achronim. So when it comes to Mayim Achronim, there's really two sugyos, and most of the lemaisa question, which is basically, do you have to do mayim achronim, relates to how you resolve these two sugyos. How Rabbi Yumiyashev, what seems to be a stira between two sugyos. What are the two sugyos? It's actually Parshas Shavua. We read it yesterday. One is the sugya in Chulin. So again, Chulin says that the reason for Mayim Achronim is obligatory. It's Chova. It's even more obligatory than Mayim Rishonim because of the danger involved, because Malach Stomus makes you blind. And the Sugya in Brachos that says that Viskadishtem, Isim Kedoshim is Mayim Achronim, that there's an Indian of Kedusha. And that's why we wash Mayim Achronim. Ramban, actually, quotes this Gemara in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim,
and Kedoshim Tiyu as being a manifestation. So question is, how to resolve the stira? Which one is it? Is it because of Kedusha? That's the Gemara Brachos. Or is it because of Melech Sdomis? That's the first question. And then the second question is, if you think that we don't have Melech Sdomis nowadays, will that change things? So what's the answer to these questions? So the first group of Rishonim is Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos and the Rambam basically say, as Tosfos in a number of places, that there's really only one sugya, one source, one reason for Mayim Achronim, that's Melech Sdomis, as the Gemara says in Chulin. What about the Drasha that the Gemara gives in Brachos? That's a Asmachta. That's an Asmachta. But really, the only motivation is Melech Sdomis. Now, what does that mean practically in terms of nowadays? So here, actually, Tosfos and the Rambam seem to come to opposite conclusions. Tosfos says, well, since the only factor is Melech Sdomis, and we don't have Melech Sdomis nowadays, so nowadays you don't have to wash Mayim Achronim. The Rambam only quotes the reason of Melech Sdomis, but he writes that it's Melech Sdomis and salt that might have similar attributes. In other words, who says that it's just salt from stone that has this danger? Maybe there are other salts. And therefore, if there are other salts, you have to be machmir to wash Mayim Achronim, even nowadays. The Rambam doesn't say there's any kula nowadays. How did the Kesef Mishnah know that, sorry, how did the Rambam know that there's other salts besides Melech Sdomis that are a concern? Maybe just Melech Sdomis, like Tosfos says. The Kesef Mishnah says, very simple. Look, the Amoraim in Bavel, they were very far away from Sdom also, you know, like we are, and yet they were concerned about Melech Sdomis, that's clear. So must be that it's not just stone salt, but it's some other salt. For your time, we could talk about the machshava idea of why stone and re'ia and eyes, but we don't have time. Okay, so that's the first yishuv of the stira between the two sugyos, but with two actually practical different directions. It's sort of interesting, like the Magen Avraham doesn't quote the Rambam, but the Mishnah Berurah does. We'll get back to that. Okay, the second yishuv of the stira is in the Ravid, and it's a Sagos on the Rambam. And take a look there. We don't have time to be miayin in it. The third yishuv of the stira, we'll say, is in the Rush. The Rush says that, no, there are two inyanim, and you have to be concerned with both of them. That's why we have two makaros. One is the sugya in Chulin, that's concerned with Melech Sdomis. The second sugya in Brachos. Brachos really were concerned with dirty hands. That's the context over there. Kedusha means you have to bench with clean hands. So there are two separate issues. One is Yadayim Zuamos. The second is Melech. So what would that mean? So you would think that, okay, well, nowadays, even if you accept that there's no Melech Sdomis, like Tosfos, you should still have to wash because your hands are dirty. So the Rush says, well, maybe it's okay if you don't wash nowadays. He defends the minhag, which seems to be the prevalent minhag in Ashkenaz, not to wash Mayim Achronim. And he says, because, well, the dirt that we have on our hands doesn't really bother us. So you don't have to do it nowadays. Or certainly if a person, you know, ate with a fork and knife and their hands aren't clean. So what comes out Lamaisa then, if you follow the Rush's view, is that if your hands are clean and there's no Melech Sdomis, which there isn't, so then you don't have to wash Mayim Achronim. That's the view of the Rush. So again, even though, unlike Tosfos says there's just one concern. The only concern is Melech Sdomis, and it's mutter nowadays because there's no Melech Sdomis. The Rush acknowledges that there's two concerns, two sugyos, but he would say, also you don't have to do it nowadays as long as your hands are clean, right? The nafkamina is if your hands are dirty, you still have to bench. Now, if you look at the Ramban, the Ramban also seems to learn that there are two sugyos. He doesn't have any basis for being makel nowadays. And it seems like he holds, though it's not entirely clear, that the second inyan of brachos is not just dirty hands, but it's more of an inyan of kedusha. It's very hard to define, though, what that means. What is that kedusha? How is this kedusha? And it's not just me that's sort of troubled by this question. If you look at the Urayim, for example, the Urayim says, I don't know what this kedusha is. He says, I'm not sure what it means. What is this kedusha that we're referring to? Let's just look at the Lashon Yireim. It's Siman Taf Lamed Aleph. Lo Matzanu Mefurash Mahu Hi HaKedusha. The way the Rosh understands the kedusha is just not to bench with 30 hands. But is it possible that there's something more than that? Sounds like from the Ramban that maybe there is. And then certainly you'd have to be Machmir nowadays. But it's not clear exactly what that inyan is. And finally, and this might be what the Ramban means, not clear, is the idea of Pikabala. The Zohar in the Rayim Hemna and the Magen Avraham alludes to this, actually talks about there are these people who say you don't have to wash my machronim anymore because it's not relevant to reason anymore, but they're wrong. And sounds like, although I can't say I understand this, that there's an Indian Api Kabbalah that some of the later Mefarshim talk about. It relates to Nitzotzos or the like. I don't know. And little Asip and Astaros. But there's another Indian of Kedusha. The Gra rejects Tosfos, absolutely. Though it's not clear to me why. At the end, he's Mitzai in the Zohar. It doesn't sound like he's rejecting it based off of the Zohar. But the Gra does quote it and the like. And the Gra's general Mahalich, as we've seen before, is that we have to be concerned that there are other reasons not stated for the Takanos of Chazal. So that gives us a number of differing opinions, right? According to the Baalei HaTosfos and the Rosh, Ashkenazim, the minhag was not to do it. Again, among Sfardim, whether it's the Rambam or Ramban, it seems like more the minhag was to do it. The Achronah of the Shulchan Aruch isn't so clear. The Shulchan Aruch starts with Mayim Achronim Chova, but Sif Yud, he quotes, Yesh She'eino Ogen Litol Yadayim, and he doesn't disagree with them. So it's not clear. I don't think it's a Stam V'yesh, because everybody agrees fundamentally Mayim Achronim Chova. Not clear what the Pesach Mechaber is, actually. What he does say in Sif Yud is that certainly if your hands are dirty, you do have to wash your hands. But if your hands aren't dirty, not clear what the Mechaber would say. Many Achrona do say you should wash. And however, others, certainly at least for Ashkenazim, defend the practice of not washing. And at least for Ashkenazim, again, there's Makom L'Hakel based off of Tosfos and the Rosh. And the like. It says others, according to Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Marshal, the Gra, the Mishneh Berurah, one should really be Machmir. And so this is obviously a big machlokas.
I was wondering if I could, is maybe perhaps pretentious on my part, but suggest perhaps a reason for Kedusha? I mean, when the Gedolim say they don't know what it's for.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Well, the Kohanim had to wash their hands before doing the Avoda. And I think on that basis, we wash our hands before davening chakras. Everybody does that. We make a bracha. It's also minhag to wash your hands before davening mincha and mariv. And I think the Gra even holds to make a bracha on that.
That's not focus you've shown him. But yes, that
anyway,
might be the idea.
So maybe the chashivas of Birkas Hamazon is sort of like davening a tefillah.
So why is there no chiyav of doing it with a kli?
So first of all, it's sort of interesting, but the Gra is almost takes all the halachos of Mayim Rishonim and applies it to Mayim Achronim. It's sort of actually quite interesting. And there are those who say maybe you should use a kli. It's a machlokas. Certainly following more the minhag of the Gra, who's emphasizing the kedusha aspect. So it's not crazy. And it's also not possible that you need a kli for tefillah either, right? That's a big machlokas. Pashta says you don't need a kli for tefillah, especially if you're not making a bracha. Um, so So anyway, this is debate. If you look actually throughout the Siman, both in terms of the issue of drying and other things, the Gra is constantly equating Shir Revias, other things, Mayim Rishon to Mayim Achronim. The Mishmur is not into just like putting a couple drops under your finger. He says that's a joke, though many are knowing to do that. The Mishmur is very opposed to it. You don't have to do your whole hands. We could only to the second knuckle. That's because that's where people, according to Rove Poskim, because that's the part of your hands that you put in the food to get dirty or more likely for the salt. All right. Much more to say about this, but no more time. So we'll stop here. Ezra Hashem, Tuesday, we're going to do Kuf Pei Beis. And more. Maybe Kuf Pei Beis, which we just talked about, the Dinim of Kosher Bracha. We'll talk a lot about very important issues that come up here, like pagum, drinking, other very lamaisa issues that come up, even if they don't come up in Kos for Birkas Hamazon, because we're not knowing to do Kosher Birkas Hamazon, but they come up by your Kiddush and Abdallah. So we'll talk about these halachos, and obviously we do need to talk about whether you're chayev to do Kos for Birkas Hamazon, whether it's a chiyuv, it's rishos, recommended. Is it something, very important question for everybody to think about before Tuesday, is it something that you should be machmir for? Or no, there's no point. So anyway, Bezus Hashem, these are some of the issues we'll get back to on Tuesday. Okay, have a good day.